All right, let's do this. We move into our third hour. Three-hour program. This is hour number three. I'm Jim Rome. We start this hour off by my reminding you what the telephone number is. 1-800-636-8686. It is smack-off season. Rob from Reno submitted a song, and it was good enough to get him on the watch list. So my point is, there are any number of ways to get into the smack-off. On the watch list, buy golden ticket, with a song, with a take. I mean, there are different ways in. You got to work it. Work your angle. Figure out where your separation is. Figure out what makes you different. Figure out how you can make it better. That guy might be in. Not yet. But if he could parlay that, stack something else on top of that, or a couple of things on top of that, he'll be in on the day that matters most, June 30th. All right, so take your shot. Meantime, look who's back. The head himself. Big head James Kelly with the triumphant return of the Big Head Bet segment right here in the jungle. Head, it's been a minute. What's cracking? How you doing, dude?
I'm doing fantastic, Jim. Life is great. Scrambling a little bit here with the PGA and Preakness, but I'm good to go, man.
All right, glad to hear it. You sound great, and you know how it is. You got to stay fluid. Things are fluid, so
they are.
Stay flexible. Why don't we start with the NBA?
Okay.
Game two, Head. Miami v. Boston. The Heat shocked the Celtics in game one. They ripped the home court in the process. Then again, maybe, Head, it wasn't a shock at all, right? Mm-hmm. Boston's been garbage at home this postseason. You had to know the Celtics were not going to match the Heat's aggression and their toughness, and they didn't, and it came back to bite them in the ass. I know Boston's going to come with more force tonight. The question is, how fat is the number, and can you justify laying those points against a Heat team that you know is never going to give in or let down?
The number is extremely fat, Jim. It's Boston minus 9 right now.
Wow.
And the reason, yes, big time, right? And the reason it's so high is the lines makers know everyone assumes Boston bounces back tonight, and they knew the money would be coming, so they pushed it way the hell up. Get this, playoff home teams down 0-1 in the past three seasons are 16-2 against the spread in game two. That's
wow.
Why the number is so freaking high,
dude,
right now.
16-2 against the spread.
16-2. Yeah, and I think they, since like 2019, I think they're 21-1 straight up and 20-2 against the spread as in that particular role right there. So, but as you know, the NBA postseason has been incredibly unpredictable, even in the finals. Heading into the conference finals here, home teams had the best cover rate since 08, and of course, all three games in the conference finals right now, the home team has not covered one time. But I'm going to go against that and 72% of the bets, sharps, and most betting models, and go with your half fam here in the Celtics. I'm going to lay those 9 points here. It's a lot, but I think their defense will be better tonight. There's no way in hell the Heat shoot again 51% from three, and I think Joe Mazzulla's team actually does play four quarters here. Also, Jason Tatum, I think he'll play and demand the ball late. I'm hoping come fourth quarter, Spo is happy with and content with the split, sits his guys, and we get that 9 cover right here, Celtics.
I think that's really interesting, the points you make, because that's out of character. That's not like you, Head. That is not like
no,
you. Number one,
not 9.
No, not 9. 9 mm-hmm. is not like you, and you also do not follow the money when a lot of the money is going that way. That is not like you. However, I heard what you just said. You make a pretty persuasive argument. I have not yet hit that myself. I know you don't play games and lay 9, but you just did. Mm-hmm. So I may do that before they tip. I haven't done it yet. All right.
Okay.
Let's move on to the PGA Championship. You always seem to get nice in golf's majors, and you do it mid-tourney. Who have you hit so far, and who are you still looking to hit?
Well, I hit a guy by the name of Justin Rose with my good friend Jim Rome, and I think we got 80-85-1 pre-tournament here, and he's in contention right now. As far as the favorite right now is Scottie Scheffler. He shot 3-under in the first round, and he's off to a hot start. You could get him at only plus 105. Everybody thinks Scheffler's going to win this thing. I'm not going to go with him. I'm going to take a couple shots because you could only go with him alone. I'm going to go with Victor Hovland at plus 1,000, Corey Connors plus 1,400, and Patrick Cantlay, who had a bad first round, but he rallied back today at plus 1,600. let's hope, you know, hope maybe Scheffler has that butt crack injury flare up in the back nine on Sunday, and maybe one of these three guys can get us paid.
Is there such an injury as a butt crack injury? I've never heard that diagnosis before.
It's called a pilonidal infection. It's an infection at the top of your butt crack.
Oh, you're right.
Butt crack, sorry. Yeah,
but correct.
You can look it up.
He did have a butt crack injury.
It was really hard.
If it could flare up in the back nine on Sunday, we might be able to make some money here, Jim. That's my thought.
It, generally, those things do flare up at the worst possible time, don't they?
And it's cold out. Maybe there's something there.
All right, there you go. Let's talk Preakness.
Okay.
Now, I know you and I both love the ponies. You know, I've actually lived that life. I've gotten my ass kicked by that life. I've been on top of the sport with that life. I'm here to tell you, although it's a part of the sports tradition, I have never understood the Triple Crown season, and especially that incredibly quick turnaround from the Kentucky Derby to the Preakness. To me, it's a virtually impossible ask to even run both those races, much less win both those races, or even hit the board on both those races. It is too grueling, it's too short a turnaround, and that's why we're seeing the field that we're seeing tomorrow, and you already lost the horse you were going to pick, right?
Yeah, that's right, and a lot of people agree
with you,
and that's why we see only
one
horse running in the Kentucky
that's
Derby to run in the Preakness right now, and that's Mage is the winner right there. Yes, my horse was second choice First Mission. I thought he might have the speed, and weather could help him because it could rain, I believe, tomorrow on the lead, but he was scratched this morning, so that's not good. If you go with Mage, it's a bad number, minus 140. I think National Treasure, the plus 250, and Bobby Baffert looks the biggest threat right now, but I think we're going to have a Triple Crown on the line in 3 weeks at Belmont. I think Mage is just too good for this field right now, Jim, and I think Forte will, you know, probably get him in Belmont, but Mage has a significant speed figure advantage on the entire field here. Each race he's gotten better. He hasn't raced a lot, so maybe he is fresher than the normal 2 weeks here. And, you know, if you want to take a chance and it does start raining out there, you might want to look at Blazing Sevens. He did win on a grade one sloppy track at plus 650, but I'm going Mage at minus 140 to win the Preakness.
I can appreciate that. Let me just get into one thing really quickly. When it comes to a sloppy track, there's something to this, Head, and you can discuss it with me, too. Some horses like to run in the slop. Some horses actually thrive in the slop. Some run really well in the mud and the rain. Others do not. You don't always know. And nobody likes the kickback. Horses don't do very well with mud getting kickback in their faces when they're running. So track conditions are very important in that regard, aren't they?
Yeah, big time. Off track is what we call it.
Yes.
Mage, he kind of came from behind in the Kentucky Derby, so we don't know if he'll like it or not. And I do know Blazing Sevens did run in it, and he didn't mind it. I mean, he's not as fast as he is, but again, he's used to it, so you could take a chance here at plus 650.
All right, so before you go, I know you like to get down and get nice during the NHL postseason. Are you seeing anything you like there from what's left?
Yeah, let's go with the series here. You can get the Vegas Golden Knights at minus 130 to beat the Dallas Stars. Biggest question is their goaltending. Can it stand up? But that offense and their top scorers showed up against Edmonton, so I'm going to say they're going to do that. I'm going to take the Vegas Golden Knights to advance to the Stanley Cup Final at minus 130.
All right, so it's good to have the Big Head Bets segment back. Run it down. Start from the top. In fact, we will do this because it's not a podcast. Normally, I would say to you, you want the picks. You want the picks. Give me my picks. Go to the podcast. Except you just got the picks. For those who are joining us late, run it back, and I know you'll put it up on Twitter too.
NBA tonight, Boston -9 at home. PGA Championship, Victor Hovland plus 1,000. Corey Connors plus 1,400. And Patrick Cantlay at plus 1,600 to run down Scheffler. Preakness Stakes, we're going to go with Mage, the favorite there. Stanley Cup playoffs, Vegas Golden Knights. I think Mage I got at -140. Stanley Cup playoffs, Vegas Golden Knights to win the series over the Dallas Stars at minus 130. And if you're bored, boxing on Saturday night, Devin Haney by decision minus 185 over Lomachenko, if you want that.
Look at the boxing bone on the way out the door. Head, nice job. Have a great weekend. Dude, let's make some money. We need it.
Hell freaking yes. Thanks, Jim.
You got it. The Head, James Kelly, Big Head Bets, coming back in. All right, so he gave you a lot of information and a lot of picks. Do what you want. In case you missed it, he will put it up on Twitter. I will retweet it a little bit later on.
Butt crack?
That's just not an injury you want. You don't want an infection or an injury of the BC.
Butt crack?
That's not ideal. Hey, Rome. Or the BH. or the BC. Either.
Rome.
Butthole.
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 Butt crack.
Butthole.
Rome. The I Can't Wait for the Smack-Off song is not aging terribly. It's actually getting better. You've always said, give me an A or give me an F. That song is perfect in that sweet spot of being so bad, it's actually good. My son was just listening to it for the first time, and now he's singing it. War starting the Smack-Off show with I Can't Wait instead of Baba O'Reilly. Marshall in Orlando. Yeah, if I wanted to do the worst thing ever, Marshall, I would. Hey, Marshall, war me doing the show.
Hardly wait.
Imagine the biggest show of the year and the biggest day of the year starting with this.
I can't wait.
Hardly wait.
Radio stations
I
would be turning
wait.
Off nationwide. On the biggest
Hardly
day of the
from
year.
Southern California.
You tell me.
This is the
Jim
Rome
Show. I know the chills I get when I hear Baba O'Reilly. Hey, Avi, do me a favor. Do them both. This is the way it normally sounds. And nothing sets the stage or the tone for the biggest show of the year like this. What do you think when you hear this? It actually, and I've heard the song 10,000 times in my life because it's arguably my favorite song ever. Arguably. And every time I hear this with connection to or relation to this show, I get chills. 29 years in, I get chills. So, and then the announcer comes in with the Smack Off.
Live from Southern California, this is the
Just whatever you do, don't ask the big head who's responsible for that song. He'll go Alan Parsons Project. He's like, what? It's the Alan Parsons Project. No, dude. Gets me fired up every time. Head's like, gets me fired up every time. Cool song. The Alan Parsons Project. Yeah, either that or the biggest anthem ever from one of the biggest bands ever, The Who. All right, so that's it. I'll play along, Marshall. What's better, this or this?
I can't wait.
How dumb do you sound, Marshall?
Hardly wait.
I'm all for you thinking that you're better at producing this show than I am, or my crew is. Just know you're not. Come on, Marshall. Hey, Marshall, I'm glad your kid. I'm glad your kid likes it, Marshall. But nobody else does.
I can't wait.
Yeah, man, let me tell you something. Every Smack-Off participant will be coming through their phone lines if they hear that. I myself was shot out of a cannon when I heard that.
I can't wait.
My head nearly exploded, like, let's go!
I can't
All right.
Wait.
Nothing fires me up like that, dude. Not even Baba O'Reilly. All right, so still ahead. The ATP. An RSVP would be good. We already had the dog come in. I think I want to try and reset Kevin Frazier and this week's pod. I may hit that. Obviously got a week that was too. 1-800-636-8686. Let's break. Look for James Kelly on Twitter. He'll put his picks up there and I will retweet them too. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Welcome back. You want to remember to think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. They're close, they're convenient, they're known for their guaranteed everyday low prices. Excellent customer service from the professional parts people you know you can trust. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit O'ReillyAuto.com. All right, a few things here, some reaction. At Linear Messenger writes, the best part of the pod with Butta was when you stopped him in his tracks and showed your disdain for LeGM's destruction of the Space Jam franchise. Way to stand your ground, pimp. Kevin was not as offended by that as I am. And Kevin tried to say, hey, look, I'm paraphrasing. Kevin said something along the lines of, look, I'm not saying that it was a great movie. I'm just saying we should cut LeBron some slack because. And I said, no, hold up. We're not cutting him any slack. He's gotten all the credit that he deserves for all the things that he deserves credit for. But I'm not cutting him any slack for wrecking that franchise, for wrecking our legacy. Me and Mike, and I'm going to speak for Mike, my co-star, have a real issue with what LeBron did to Space Jam. And Kevin said, oh, come on, man. Take it easy. Take it easy. Kevin said, essentially, number one, sequels are very difficult to make. And number two, that even somebody as smart as LeBron, they can't all be great decisions. And I just wasn't hearing any of it. In other words, we agreed that that was the worst decision ever. Anyway, that's what Linear Messenger is talking about. You want to check out that pod. It's so good. It's so fun. Some of you are talking about Rob and Reno and that the song really wasn't that good. At Hellaphonic writes, dudes like this should not be trying to rap. The production is fine. But dude, I can't get past that bad rapping. The rapping game is hard, dog. Don't try it if you can't pull it off, yo. Joel Harm 73 says, quote, hate to do your boy from Reno, but how about you play that old school jungle rap that your boy Machine Gun dropped? Because that song is still fire. If I'm not mistaken, this song is 20 years old. And it was in the cabinet. Nobody knew about it. We didn't know about it until we found it 20 years after it dropped. And you're right, Joel. Check this out. Out in the jungle comes a pimp in the box. Putting down a smack that'll make you rock. So whether you're rolling in your car, at work, or at home, turn on your dad, who you hear? Jim Rome. Out of the jungle comes a pimp in the box. Putting down a smack that'll make you rock. So whether you're rolling in your car, at work, or at home, turn on your dad, who you hear? I'm ready and worthy to get my jersey dirty in controversy. You heard me, it's first and 30, it's early, so watch the birdie. Go topsy-turvy with scavengers, listen and watch. The American smack off posted by the pimp in the box. Get a grip on your grill, he earned the bragging rights. Nobody's safe from Jim Rome when he grabbed the mic. Televised through satellites, you like what's the cause for excitement? He's larger than life, it's leaving the mark of a titan. David Banner can't switch skin tones like Jim Rome. And ping clones till they send home, complaining to ingrowns. Jungle syndrome, bend bones right to the core. You ain't built for this type of tug of war in the jungle floor. So deal with it. Come correct if you feel brave. Enough to clash in the steel cage of airwaves. Just like bear caves, aggression is testing your thinking cap. I'm stressing to bring it back to the king of smack. I'm out. Out of the jungle comes a pimp in the box. Putting down smack. I mean, that didn't even come to our attention until 2018. And I think it dropped almost 20 years before that. That's how incredible that track is. I love that. I'm so proud of that. That is amazing. So Joel's right. That song is still fire. That's timeless. That will always be fire. Always. There you go. All right. So quickly, back to Butter. We did pump out another awesome episode of the Jim Rome Podcast this week, which, as you all know, is the original side hustle. It's the place I go to get a little loose, where I can go long form and do a lot of things that I can never do on this show. I do things on that pod that would get me fired from this show. This is why I love it so much. It's why the side hustle is the side hustle and why I'm still doing it 260 some odd episodes in. We've got a library of 265 plus. I want to remind you of that. It's free. It's premium content. It's much edgier in a lot of cases than this show is. We can do things there that I can never do here. So let me repeat that one more time. Free premium content on the weekly. Get up in there, smash the subscribe button, and that way you never have to go looking for a pod. The pod will always find you. Which brings me to this week's episode. If I'm talking about it on the show, you know I love it. Ep 267. I was joined by one of my all-time favorite people, one of my best friends. But not just one of my favorite dudes, one of the best dudes ever to get a pop with and sit down for dinner. Because this dude has stories. And I mean stories for days. I'm talking about Butter. Entertainment Tonight's Kevin Frazier. K. Frazier, truly one of one. Truly one of one in the sense that I don't think I know anybody in the business who has seen what he has seen and who has done what he has done and who has worked where he has worked. This is an extraordinarily talented guy. So he's perfect for the long-form, unfiltered conversation. Let me give you a taste. Again, you're going to want to track down the entire ep because the entire ep sounds like this. Butter and I came together back in the day when we co-hosted the FX Sports Show. I didn't know him. They threw us together, and we did that show together. Tommy even admitted to me, yeah, when I was younger, I used to watch that show. So I've got immense respect for Kevin. His talent, his grind, what he's accomplished in the industry. I started the conversation by saying, Kevin, as you look back on your life and on your career and the last 30 years of what you've seen, what you've done, the crazy things you've covered, as you look back on all of that, what kind of thoughts do you have?
I turn on the TV and I look at retrospectives of things and I'm like, damn, I was there for that. Oh, wow, I got to do that. You know, whether it was Michael Jordan's last shot and meeting Michael on the court, whether it was, you know, Brad Pitt when he got divorced from Jennifer Aniston being in Tokyo interviewing him for that. I mean, there have been all these crazy moments over my career, and it kind of makes me laugh. The other day I was flying back from the coronation. I had to stop in New York to interview Janet Jackson. And it's weird when someone that, you know, you watch all the time walks in and is like, Kev, how have you been? And so you just, you look at those moments and you're just like, life is crazy and my life is insane. It's insane.
Butter, only butter. Who else could say that? Who else could answer that like that? In 30 seconds, he's able to squeeze in chopping it up with Michael Jordan after the last made bucket of his career, interviewing Brad Pitt in Tokyo after he split from Jennifer Aniston, flying back from the King's coronation in London, and then stopping in New York just long enough to do a sit down with Janet Jackson on his way home. I mean, dude, nobody is doing it like Kay Frage. Nobody. So, of course, in our business, in the business of doing what Kevin and I do, we talk to a lot of people. We talk to a lot of people. Not all of those conversations and interviews are going to go the way you'd like them to go. It's the reality of what we do. I told him about my time where I spoke to the captain himself, Kareem, way, way, way back in the day, and how badly that went and what a bad experience that was. That in the pre-interview that I had with him, he wouldn't even talk to me. He wouldn't even respond to me. He just sat there in dead silence as I said, hi, how are you? Thank you for coming, Kareem. Do you have any questions? He looked right through me, didn't say a word. I asked Kevin what he thought about that and if he had ever experienced anything like that in his career.
He is the equivalent of Tommy Lee Jones in the entertainment industry for me. Tommy Lee don't give a rat's ass. If he's supporting a movie, he doesn't care. He may just not answer your questions. Or if he does, he'll answer them with one word, you know, like one word's like, you're right, okay, whatever. And, you know, it's wild because he just literally, he breaks people down. Because if you're not prepared for that in the lightweight world of entertainment, you know, when you're coming in for a movie junket and people are all happy and then they meet grumpy grandpa who just crushes you, it's hard. And so people have come out crying, but it is a universally known that when you go into the room with Tommy Lee Jones, you better be prepared. Bring a hat and a lunch and be prepared. I mean, have the hard hat on because he ain't messing around.
I don't know what I like better, him glossing him grumpy grandpa or saying that if you're not ready, people come out crying. Grumpy grandpa is making journos cry. Incredible. I mean, such a great conversation. We hit on so many topics from Kobe and LeBron to the time that Kevin thought he was getting punked by Ashton Kutcher to all the news surrounding John Morant. Everything is there. But I got to say, probably the most interesting sports-related piece that we hit on, and you're not going to believe this, I asked Kevin, because Kevin would know, Kevin's covered everything. I asked Kevin right now, in Los Angeles, what is the single most electric environment and sporting atmosphere in this town? Lakers? Dodgers? Nope. Rams? Chargers? Hell no. This is how he responded to the question, what is the most electric atmosphere in the LA sports scene right now?
Jim, here's what I'm going to tell you. There is nothing like LAFC. There's not even close to anything like LAFC. And you're talking to a guy who got Laker season tickets. But LAFC is something special and it's different. And it's a place where you bring your family and you have never seen anything like the 3252 at LAFC, the 3,252 people who chant and sing the entire game. It is a part. It's like a big house party, and you feel like this familial attitude and surroundings. It is the greatest experience, and they've won a championship.
Butter, the LAFC, and according to him, nothing else is even close. My man, Butta. Legend. One of my favorite people ever, and a dude that I'm very proud to call a good friend. Now, do yourself a favor. Go listen to the entire 30 minutes. Episode 267, start to finish, it's like that. And yes, we did disagree on Space Jam. Check it out. Make sure you hit the subscribe button. That way, there are so many other conversations like that one, and they will find you. You will never have to find them. And every one of those conversations, I've been doing those now for maybe 6 years. They all hold up. They all stand up. They're like all evergreen. They all work. Make sure you check it out. And especially this week's episode with Kevin Frazier. Kay Frazier always shows up. Always shows up like that. It's an absolute blast. Your reaction. And how about him saying, here in LA, here in Southern California, the single best sporting event, and it's not even close, LAFC. Butta! All right, so when we return, Alvy's Week That Was, the ATP, and more. Hey, how about somebody jumping on the watch list before the end of the week? That'd be cool. Next week, Smack Off Profiles begin. Look for that. 1-800-636. ATP brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. So you submit the question, I answer it, and it's always brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts. For all of your car care needs, get parts and service that you need quickly from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Let's get some ATPs in here. Snags, if you were offered a backstage pass from Pete Townsend or Roger Daltrey, would you stiff them like you did Robert Plant? Thanks. Emery in Portland, first Who show in 1982 in Boulder, Colorado. Hell no, I would not. I should never have ever stiffed Robert Plant. One of the great regrets of my life. I would not make that mistake twice. And I love Robert Plant. I love Zepp, but I like The Who even better. Trust me. I've never spoken to either one of those guys. And I was always an enormous Pete Townsend guy. I think Pete Townsend is brilliant. I mean, brilliant. I always thought that Roger Daltrey was as good as a front man as anybody. One of the all-time great rock and roll voices. I would never mess with those bros. It's Pete's birthday, by the way. All right, dude, this is so funny. So another one is, hi, Jim. Why do you call Kevin Frazier Butta? Thanks, Bella B in Calgary via Portugal. I'm going to be really transparent about this. I don't even remember why he's Butta. I thought, frankly, because he's so smooth, he's Butta. So I just hit him right now and asked him. That's not it. He reminded me why he's Butta. So when we worked on the FX Sports Show together, what the job entailed was this. The show was on once a week, and it was a recap of the day's NFL action. So we would get to work early in the morning on the Fox lot, and we would watch games all day long, and we'd have multiple screens, you know, kind of like Red Zone today, but this was back in the day. And then we would watch these games, and then sometimes we were so caught up in the multiple games that when they showed a highlight, we assumed it was live, but it wasn't something that already happened. So he writes, we were watching a game and got hyped about a replay that wasn't live. And I said, if you think it's Butta, but it's not, and you died. Because we used to be like, hey, idiot, that happened 10 minutes ago. What were you doing when that play was live? And that was off that old commercial, when you think it's Butta, but it's not. And I thought that was hilarious, so I just started Butta-ing him. I started calling him Butta after that. It was a great line. Dude, his recall is amazing. That's what that was. He knew every detail of that story. Quote, we were watching a game and got hyped about a replay that wasn't live. And I said, if you think it's Butta, but it's not. And you died. I did. So I just called him Butta after that. That's where Butta came from. The FX Sports Show. Yimmy, do you get Jack Savage to bring in the Old Trapper Beef Jerky Tower as an initiation in the hopes that he crashes his head into the camera? Patrick in Canada. No. No, that's not why I do that. I'm the only one who's done that, I think. Hawk may have back in the day, but I did walk squarely into the camera. Let's just say the cameras swivel, they move. I'm looking at one right now. To my left, it's moving, it's panning. They control the cameras from New York. Let me just say this. There's not a lot of give on that camera. You hit that camera, it's like walking into a steel pole. It's like walking into a lamppost. And I think it happened once before to Hawk, and I just clowned him unmercifully. Are you an idiot? How do you walk into a stationary object? And then sure enough, I did it. I did it a few months later. We have video of it. Watch. Watch this. New York's got video of it. That's me on CBS Sports Network. See if they can re-rack that. This is me walking into the camera, and it's shaking. And I turn and look at it like, dang, dang, where did that come from? Much like Billy Joel must have been like, dang, where did that house come from? That television camera came out of nowhere. Who left that camera there? Somebody put that camera there so I'd walk into it. Who left that camera there? TV puts it there so they know I'll walk into it and they'll get the video. It was funny. Except that I had brain fog for like a week. I know I was concussed. I should have been in the protocol, but I didn't get it checked out. I'm pretty well convinced that I got a concussion from that. No give. No, that hurt. That hurt. So no, I would not do Jack Savage like that. SA Sports Honk. This is a no hazing house. Hazing to me is idiotic. I hate it. I've always hated it. I've hated it for all things. Sports, frats, business, companies. I hate it. I don't get it. And don't tell me it's like a rite of passage. You know, if there's something kind of funny that makes you a little uncomfortable, so be it. But I'm talking about the kind of hazing that becomes criminal activity. You know, idiotic things. Like, how was making somebody drink until they were 0.40 going to make you a better fraternity? How is sexual assault in the locker room going to make you a better team? I've never understood that at all. So no. Wait, I've hit my head on the camera more than once? It happened again? I only remember it once. I only remember it once. Is that a different angle or a different time? Holy crap, look at that. Watch CBS Sports Network. That's me holding my head. I came up holding my head. You know what? I have done it twice. And you know why I didn't know? Because I was concussed. That's how I didn't remember. Look at that. Look at me. That's real. This is incredible. It shows me turning around holding my head. And the only reason I didn't remember doing it twice is because I was concussed. I should have been in the protocol. The second one looks worse. Where was my wheelchair? I had a concussion. I had brain trauma. How do you not wheel me out of here? And why was I not left to stay home with no use of devices or electronics for a minimum of 5 days? There you go. Alvy, is it time? Are you ready? Here is Alvy's week that was.
The smack off, believe me, I like it.
Yeah. Who is the new guy? Come at me. I've heard of all before. I am back. What's cracking? Welcome to the program. My name is Jim Rome. I took the entire week off last week. Jake Rome graduated from college, so the entire Rome family was there. Nice to have you here. We have lots to get done today. Philly fan, let me start with you.
It's not a failure. You know, steps to success.
You can tell Troy was pretty happy with himself with that one. Yeah, you can hear the smile on his voice when he said
it. Are you planning to be the coach of the team next year?
Yeah, I think I got 2 years left.
You think? 2 years or 2 hours, my guy? 2 years or 20 minutes? 2 years or before the end of this segment?
I have James Harden post-traumatic stress disorder. Jim, this is just who he is.
Geeter!
What is going on, Romy? First off, I just want to say congrats to Jake, the graduate, to you, the keynote speaker, of course, Logan. Janet, Logan, who outraged everyone, and you know I always love coming on and talking with the new guy, bud.
Chad in Philly.
Gotta be truthful, I'm from Green Bay. My bad.
He is Sam Amick.
A terrible postseason for Jordan.
Jordan Poole lets it fly! No!
And it's hard to not feel like a big part of it, the punch with Draymond back in October.
actually have audio footage of LeBron and Rob Pelinka.
Hey, yo, Rob, bring me Conspiracy Theory Irving.
You do you, King, and let me get like Pee-wee in a movie theater and do me.
You have to wear them out.
I've heard of NBA young boy, but you NBA dumb boy.
I can't believe we're having this conversation. Again, I'm just going to say this dude is either extremely disturbed or extremely dumb. Is there anybody anywhere around him in his orbit that will say, hey, man, no, don't do any of that?
Yo, Ja Morant, dude, is stupid crazy. I think Memphis should just break him off. It looks like that dude is never going to learn.
Getting ready for work right now, then you're probably not.
Doc Rivers. All right, then we're done. There's your breaking news. I know you thought that was original. I know you thought that would get you a laugh. You were wrong.
Gary eating lard ass is up in Wisconsin. You cheese curd scarfing, battery chucking losers. Get used to shutting the boob tube down early on Sundays because the old Bears are back.
A lot of chirping from our
judge going eyeball emoji and then turning around a pitch about 1,000 feet does not mean that he were cheating. I'm not offended by that. I'm just offended by that garbage explanation he had after the game.
And you know what? I have had.
Hey, Rome, since me and the Fee went all Pee Wee Herman yesterday and lost his golden ticket, I'd like to snatch it. Rack me, I'm out.
I want you to rack that call, but not give Manny the golden ticket he asked for.
Jokic just gets it off in time. It's up. Oh!
That was pretty much the vibe last night. Before everybody runs in here to crown their asses, we all have to admit that the Nuggets dodged a massive scud in the fourth quarter.
Good luck hyping it up.
Kevin Millar.
You walk in with a bad shirt, I'm getting on you. If I walk in with a bad shirt, you're getting on me. We're laughing. We're playing skits in the shower. Sometimes you gotta grab your privates and get in there and just go. I need some dudes.
Joe Vardon is my guest. Joe, it is great to have you on. How you doing, Joe?
Jim, last night I was sitting at a bar. The request to do the show came through, and I immediately showed it via text to my buddies, who I grew up with in suburban C-Town. This is like a big deal for all of us. We were at the 2000 tour stop, and my one boy, he says, the Jim Rome show appearing there is better than winning a Pulitzer.
The number one pick goes to the San Antonio Spurs.
Every Spurs loss this year feels like a win because of Wembanyama.
I'm not trying to get the conspiracies going, you know, but I mean, there's got to be something cooking over there in that draft room, because how do you fall out? It's just, it's embarrassing. We need some older heads to help out these young guys.
What, you mean the ping pong balls?
What?
Who has to grow up? Man, those damn envelopes have to mature. Can't be having this.
But here's what I know. I've got a landline now. I've got some takes. They don't suck. And I'll be there on June 30th, baby.
And so now I'm pissed because I'm like, me and you are dudes. We're good. Why are you tripping on me in front of the cameras? He and Ashton are both screaming at me like, yeah, that's bullshit. That is bullshit that you do. I was like, get the out of here. I'm doing my job.
Kutcher.
No. We had the right mindset and we were prepared.
You could say over and over and over again that you were prepared, but that doesn't make it so. You won 3 of the 4 quarters. Too bad you got your ass kicked in the entire game.
Do your job.
Brian Scalabrine.
Man, it's always good to catch up with Romy in the playoffs, man. I'm really excited about this.
Dude, I love it. Me too.
My beef is with my barber, Jim. Now I got what looks like a cross between a weave, a toupee, and a plug job.
My beef is with the lottery. I mean, how many times can they screw Detroit?
Wickedly talented. Petite, Bassett, Adele, Dazim, Griffon, Vendy,
The pipe is the moneymaker.
Even the desperation shots go in.
Dumbest motherfucker.
Go, Spurs, go.
No one's safe in our business.
You and me can't win alone, Jimmy. Remember that.
Thanks, Roman. Be good, brother.
Put that in your pipe, you smoke it. Let go of the rope.
Good night now.
Another awesome effort, Alvin. Great job. I love the way he slipped in some more K-Frage. K-Frage talking about the altercation verbally he had with Ashton Kutcher is a great story. Them F-bombing each other.
Kutcher.
Amber is in. Romy, I love it. Keep playing the Pimp in the Box rap. Not only is it straight fire, but I feel like Methween's ears are bleeding since it's not some horrific trash music from Johannes. Someone may need to do a welfare check on the meth kook. Signed, Amber. War Lady Clones.
War Lady Clones.
Amber, low-key, holding a golden ticket. She's playing it pretty safe. She's playing it pretty conservative. I think she wants to hold on to that golden ticket. Listen, one thing about the golden ticket, I've said this before. It doesn't guarantee you'll get on the air. And in fact, doing nothing does not guarantee you get to keep it. If I feel like you're playing it too safe or too conservatively, and you're trying to keep it in the fairway, and you're not showing up, and you're never risking it, I may just snatch it anyway. Like, if I look at a golden ticket list and I see that you haven't come on since you got that golden ticket, I'll rip that thing. I'm not saying you, Amber. I'm just saying, word to the wise and a heads up. Having a golden ticket does not mean you're guaranteed to have it if you do nothing wrong. Doing nothing is doing something wrong. All right? I want you to keep that in mind. You could still lose it by doing nothing. Next week is going to be a big week in the way of the Smack-Off. We're going to have our Smack-Off profiles begin, and Stucknut will have his Smack-Off odds. For the ones who get it done, Grainger is offering supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product experts ready to answer your toughest questions. So call or click Grainger.com or stop on by. That's a week. My thanks to Pat Sertan. Thought he was awesome. Eric Armstead came in. The big head, James Kelly, with his bets. Look for his picks on Twitter. I will retweet them later on. My thanks to the XR4TI, grinding it out, always. Y'all have an amazing weekend, and I will see you right back here Monday. We're out.